Welcome to Writers with Wrinkles, where authors Beth McMullen and Lisa Schmid iron out the wrinkles in writing, publishing, and everything in between, one podcast at a time.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 13 of Writers with Wrinkles. And this is our Books on Botox and Hot Writing Tip episode. And we have a couple of really great books for you and an excellent writing tip. So we hope that you stick around. Lisa and I were talking, because now that we're on episode 13, Lisa and I have been talking about how we've been trying to improve our podcasting. And this led to a pretty funny conversation about, you know.
Stop. It's true. So the last episode with Catherine, but the episode before that with the books on Botox, where we talk about the books we love. And my favorite book of all time was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I was so looking forward to talking about not just how I view it as a reader, but now how I view it as a writer. But that all got lost in the you knows. So just to give a little bit of backstory. We had planned on recording this podcast, and then we had that huge rainstorm, and I had the people overhead working on the roof and the banging and the drilling, so we couldn't do it. So there was literally a rain delay. And so the next day we went to record it, and right before we went on, I had had a really upsetting conversation with somebody. And so that's all I could think about. And I should have just said, let's not do it, because I was really upset. But we had already delayed it one time, and we had to get it done so that you could edit it. But there was nothing you could do with all your little editing tools to cut the million you knows that were coming out of my mouth. I was just so upset that nothing I wanted to say was coming out. So everything was, you know, no, they don't know, because that's why I'm there to talk about it. So I started listening to it, and it was already posted. And I sat there just mortified. I want to apologize for that. And I also felt like I was negative. And so just like the whole, that podcast is dead to me. That episode is
okay. So I think at some point we are going to revisit as your book on Botox, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and you can just redo it entirely and start from scratch, and we'll pretend that one never existed. I can actually go in there and delete it and make it really not exist.
Oh my God.
I know.
That would be...
Isn't that magic?
It is magic. And I think we should do that. But speaking of magic, you know I'm an owl freak.
I do. And I've been promised, everybody... We've been promised a really fun owl story, and I think now we're going to get it.
Sick. I've never seen one. I've seen one fly across the road or whatever. And about 7 months ago, I did see a horned owl in the middle of the afternoon. I was on a walk, and all of a sudden it was like everything was just going crazy. All the birds were going crazy. I'm like, I thought I'd just walked into a jungle scene. And it turned out... There was a horned owl out in the middle of the day, and he was obviously hunting because there was two hawks there fighting them off their nest, and you know, it's just this crazy scene.
He's an apex predator too. Everybody runs scared when the owl shows up.
Oh, it was like if there was monkeys there, they would have been losing their mind. I was just like, this is crazy. What's happening?
I had fallen into a Pixar movie. This is so weird.
It was totally weird. So anyway, I spot the horned owl and I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I'm getting a book deal. that's what I took from that.
You thought the owl brought you magical Harry Potter messages kind of thing?
You know, I look for signs in everything.
Yes.
And then I think 3 days later, at my friend Rose Cooper was in town. She's a writer. But she was in town, and we were outside sitting in a bar, and I saw an asteroid shower. And so those two things together, I'm like, I'm getting a book deal. It's happening.
Okay, so now everybody who listens to the show is going to go wander around their neighborhood. Everyone who is waiting on or would like to have a book deal is going to go wander around the neighborhood and try to find owls. Because if you find an owl, you will have a book deal forthcoming. I like that.
I know. Okay, so that's not the story. So,
okay, everybody, hold on. There's more.
Here it comes. So yesterday, within the last few nights, an owl has moved into my neighborhood. And so I could hear it going, woo-hoo. And then another one answers it, woo-hoo. And so it's freezing right now. But I'm cracking the window open so I can hear the owls at night. Woo-hoo. So anyway, my neighbors were all out last night at dusk, and I'm with my neighbors next door, Dana and Jeannie, and I'm like, did you guys hear the owls? So we're all talking about the owls, and it's 5:30, and all of a sudden we hear, hoo-hoo, and I'm like, they're close. Well, in the morning, I had taken Lucy out to go potty at 6 in the morning, and I heard the owls, and I'm like, they're close. I'm like, keeping my eye on Lucy because I'm like, they're
She's
close
little.
Enough. She's little, they can swoop in and take her. And so anyway, we heard it and I'm like, let's go look for the owl. And my husband's like, I'm going inside. I'm like, okay, peace out. You're going to miss out on all the action. So I tromped off with my two neighbors in search of this owl. Oh my God. So 25 yards from my house, down our little, we're right next to the pathway, the trail Greenbelt. That goes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for finding the big word for me. We're looking and I'm like, I hear it. I hear it. And so Dana, who's an outdoorsman, he's like, okay, owls like to tuck up against the trunk of the tree so that they can hunt. And so I'm like, we're like little sharp eyes looking through this big thing of trees. And all of a sudden, way up high, I see this huge nest, which usually I always associate with hawks because we have tons of hawks. And all of a sudden a bird, a head pops up and I'm like, I think that's an owl because I'm hearing hoo-hoo. And I'm like, it's coming from there. It's coming from there. And I'm like, gosh, that's a small owl. And then another head pops up and I'm just like, those are really small owls. And
babies.
All of a sudden, this ginormous horned owl comes out and spreads its majestic wings and swoops down and goes to another tree. And it's all hoo-hoo.
And did then, you just faint right then?
Oh my God, you don't even know. Well, then
baby
there's another
owls.
Wait, I'm not. It gets better. So the other owl's answering back. Hoo-hoo. So there's the two owls. You know, obviously they come in pairs, the mom and the dad. And then all these little baby owls are peeking out, and I am losing my mind.
Oh my God. So this was right near your house.
It's 25 yards from my house.
How many times have you gone out there to eyeball the baby owls?
Okay.
Every day?
This just happened yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I've started a group chat in my neighborhood and I'm like, okay, this is what's going on. The tour begins tomorrow night at 5:00. Meet me in the court. We'll show you where the owls are. I need names. Give me names. And so my neighbor, this cute little, one of the neighbor girls, she came up with Cindy Lou Who for one of the babies.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then, so in the chapter book that never got sold, that is still out there, I think, there's a cranky owl called Albert B. Moody. Albert. Why didn't that book sell?
I don't know. I love that book so much. I don't understand why it didn't sell because it's brilliant.
So anyway, but that is my exciting news. So I have a family of horned owls living outside. So as we were driving to school today, I was taking my 15-year-old son, who's your typical teenager, as we're driving by and I can look down the path, I'm like, good morning.
And he shrinks down in the seat to pretend that he doesn't know you. But we've already linked the original owl that you saw to the book deal. This means you're going to get 5 book deals. Each owl is one book deal and there's a bunch of babies and there's the mom and dad. So, this is going to be an exciting couple years for you.
Well, when you put it that way, my chapter book is 4 books.
So somebody out there, please, publisher, editor, please take this book because you will be so happy that you did. And then that will take care of all the owl book deals right there in one fell swoop. How's that for a pun?
That is a perfect pun. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's my exciting news. And I'm like, I can hardly wait till 5 o'clock because the neighbors are, we're all converging in the court to go wander over.
Yeah. Lisa's like trying to like leave this podcast right now so that she can go stick her eyes on the owls and make sure they don't need a latte or, you know, a Trader Joe's run or something. Offer up your services.
Oh my God. I'll use Lucy. I'll be like, look, Lucy.
You'll be like, look, she'd make a tasty little morsel, but then you just got to be really quick and grab her before they do
because she's too fat.
Owls are very cool, especially when they do that exorcist thing with their head and like spin it around in a circle. Ah!
And we're at a court with some small animals. And so I'm like, everyone, no letting your dogs out anymore.
No, no, certainly not off leash. I mean, at least if they're on a leash, you can pull them back down when the owl tries to take them.
Like a kite.
Yes. Oh no, that's terrible. That's terrible. Like the chihuahua kite flying away in the sky. Okay, none of that's going to happen. That's just, we're going to let that image go because it's terrible. Dogs getting snatched by owls. Okay, we are here to do Books on Botox, so I suppose we should get to it.
Yes.
Just a quick reminder that all of our selections are available on our bookshop.org site, and the link is in the podcast notes and also on our link tree, which you can see in Twitter. So my book actually has owls in it and hawks and all kinds of creatures. So it's funny that you're talking about them. This is a book that came out in 2018. I'm a little late to the party. It's called The Great Alone by Kristen Hanna, who's had any number of New York Times bestsellers. This book was also a New York Times bestseller. It was one of BuzzFeed's most anticipated books for that year. It is a sweeping, epic, ambitious novel. And just to give you a quick summary, it takes place in the 1970s. There is a 13-year-old girl and her two parents. Her dad has returned from Vietnam, damaged, volatile, has a lot of emotional issues, can't settle, is very restless, keeps moving them from place to place to place because he keeps getting fired. He is left from a war buddy of his who was killed in action, a parcel of land on this peninsula in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. So he moves his wife, who comes from a relatively well-to-do Seattle family that has basically disowned her because of her relationship with this man, and her daughter, who's 13. And the point of view is the 13-year-old daughter in the book, which is interesting because it's not a kid's book. It's an adult book. It's a coming-of-age story. But it is interesting to look at it and see this 13-year-old as the main character, as written for an adult. But what happens is that the dad's mental state deteriorates and he starts to become more unpredictable than usual. They're in this very desolate, terrifying, remote place. And really the dangers on the outside, the bears, the wild animals, the terrible weather, the darkness, those all pale in comparison to the dangers on the inside of their tiny cabin coming from this very troubled man. What I liked about it is that the setting, oftentimes we think about how the setting can be maybe almost like a character. The setting in this book is almost the point of the book. So it's not just something that happens, you know, characters are put into it. It really is kind of the engine that drives the book. But the girl, she feels familiar without being cliche. I guess that's the best way to put it. She's a kid from a dysfunctional family, finding herself in a very unusual situation. And yet she's taken with this Alaskan environment for different reasons than her father or her mother. And it's just very, it feels big, but not overwhelming. I guess that's a really fine line to walk when you're writing something on this epic scale. And she does an amazing job and you can really just get lost in the whole thing. And I think if you're in the mood for something sweeping and big and ambitious, this is a great book. And sometimes those epics feel hard to read. This is very digestible. It's just smoothly written. You can see her her skill and her talent with the prose that just flows. And I'm not done with it, but I'm really enjoying it, thinking about it all the time. So that's my book for this week.
I love books with that kind of where they make the setting almost a character. The setting almost becomes a character in the story. And you know who does that really well also is Jonathan Stroud. He does Lockwood & Co., the Bartimaeus trilogy, which I love. And I think anybody who's listened to this knows I love Jonathan Stroud. Why hasn't he followed me yet?
Yeah. Jonathan, if you're listening, please follow Lisa.
So he does such a great job at creating that setting and making it like a character in the story. And I think like what you're saying with that book, it makes it's just interesting when an author can do that.
She does it so well. And I would love to, I kind of want to do a little bit of a deep dive into seeing how she did her research. Did she live there? Did she spend a lot of time there? Did she have family there? There has to be something because it feels so real. And I mean, I've never even been to Alaska and I have no idea, but it feels like it's actually the description of what she was seeing. And because it's the 1970s, the setting, and it is a very remote part, it's a parcel of land that's near a town of like 30 people. It's tiny. And just the oppressiveness of the winter when it starts to come, when she's talking about it, you feel it. Like it's just so well done. So well done. So that is why I love The Great Alone, Kristen Hanna. Probably most of you have read it already because, as I said earlier, I'm totally late to the show on this one. I definitely recommend it just for a whole number of reasons, but primarily because it is a very compelling, great read and you will get lost in it.
Well, I am adding that to my list and I will add it to our bookshop.org.
Yes, please
today.
Do.
Well, that'll happen. Okay, so my book is The Secret Files of Fair Day Morrow by Jessica Haight and Stephanie Robinson. I've read this book a long time ago and I'm currently rereading it again. It actually was one of my comps when I was querying Ollie Oxley. And the reason why I love this story so much is it's a Nancy Drew with a paranormal twist, which I love. And it has all the elements of a good mystery. The character moves from New York to Connecticut, or the countryside of Connecticut. There's a haunted house, family secrets, mystery that's years in the making, friendships new and old. She has this group called the Detective Mystery Squad that, you know, she has this friend from the city that she used to solve mysteries with there. And so she's forming a new circle of friends when she moves to this new town to find the answers to the mystery in this new house that she's moved into that's haunted. And the thing I love about it, and there's so many books these days, it feels like everything has to have an issue. You know, all the Marion characters always have to have an issue. Like, and I do the same thing. Like my first two books, they both have issues. But this book, it's just a mystery. I mean, really, you know, she's a new girl moving to a new town, but it truly is a mystery. And there's a comfort in that. You know, I think one of the reasons why people love Nancy Drew is because there's a comfort to it. And that she is a capable young woman solving a mystery with, you know, Bess and George. And there's something about that rhythm and knowing that at the end of the day, she's going to solve the case. And that's why I love The Secret Files of Fair Day Morrow. Well, and I think, you know, I've talked to you about this and I've talked to my critique partner, Catherine, and when I'm starting this new book, I've been like, oh my God, does he need an issue? What's he overcoming? And all of a sudden I was just like, you know what? I don't want him to have a big issue. I just want him to go out and solve a mystery and have fun with it. And that's why I'm revisited The Secret Files of Fair Day Morrow, because that's exactly what that is. It's a mystery with a capable young girl that is just intelligent and she's, you know, driven by curiosity. And so that's why I love this book so much. And one of the things I do when, and I mentioned this in the podcast that's coming up with Laura, is that I study books like homework. If I'm starting a new book, I always kind of sit down with a book that I want it to emulate, like Laura said in that podcast that people will hear on, what is it, next Monday?
Yeah. Next Monday, yes.
So But that's what I do. And I go through the book, and I'm one of those people that writes on books. And I know that there's horror, like, in my people's minds are like, no.
No, I think as long as it doesn't belong to the library right away.
Yeah, it's my book.
It's yours. You can do whatever you want.
I will go through and highlight passages. I look for pacing. I look at dialogue. I look at staging. Like, everything that's happening that I like, if somehow an author or writer does it, I will highlight it. And then I also, at the top of each chapter, I write what's happened in that. So, like, at chapter one, it's like, okay, change is happening. Chapter two, setting the stage. And I write it at the top. And chapter three, inciting incident happens. So it just, I can go through and check their pacing and, like, how many chapters in is everything happening. And so I can kind of pace mine the same way. And that's how I learn.
I think it's instructive too, because you're almost using it as an outline for your work, because you know that it's something that kind of follows along the same lines that you want to produce. So I think that's actually, that in and of itself is a really good idea, to just pick the books that you feel resonate with you, that are similar to what you're trying to do. And you may end up doing something totally different, but it's a good jumping off point.
Well, it's one of those things where I read a million middle grade novels, but there are certain books that are more in my wheelhouse and that the style I like to write. And so when I am starting a new book, I will really sit down and start reading those books, because it also sparks ideas in your head, like, ooh, this is when this could happen, or this is when that could happen. So I highly recommend it. And you can do that on, I don't do eBooks, but I know that you can highlight and do stuff in eBooks. Is that?
Yeah, I have never figured out how to do it, because I don't,
that sounds
I tend
too
to
technical.
Just, I know, I tend to just write things down.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a really good, can we segue right into our hot tip? Because it's sort of related to what we're seeing right now. So this week's hot tip is, what the way that I do it is, I take a stack of index cards and I write each chapter and a little description of the chapter. Just a couple of words. It's only for me to jog my memory about what's happening in that chapter. And then I lay them out on a table and I can see the whole book if I'm done, or I can see the part that I've done so far. And it helps, again, with figuring out, is my pacing correct? Do I need to move things around? Is there too much happening before the inciting incident, or these, you know, whatever you want to adjust? It's a really easy visual way of doing that, because most of us work on a laptop or a desktop. We have limited screen space. It's hard to see everything, even with some of the great writing software that's out there. It's hard to really see the whole thing in one fell swoop. So, I said that again. That's the owl thing coming back again.
That's okay. It's haunting us now.
We're like all owls all the time here. So yeah, you can just lay it out and then you can move it around. And then as you make your adjustments, you can go back into your actual manuscript and make those adjustments. Another thing that I do is I always have multiple versions. So if I lay out all my index cards and I decide that chapter 5 needs to be where chapter 2 is, I start a new, brand new document. So I'm preserving everything that came before, because I may in 2 or 3 weeks decide that chapter 2 needs to go back where it originally was, and
right,
5 needs to go back where it originally was. So you want to keep like at least a version of things that you've done in the past so that you can go back to it if you need to. But I'm definitely all for just a very simple visual layout of your manuscript to help you figure out if your pacing is correct, if your plot is following, all of those things that you want to make sure are nice and tight by the time you're sending it out to readers or editors.
Yeah, I remember you, when I was writing Ollie, you gave me this suggestion. And I just, like you said, I took my index cards, did everything you said, laid it out on my dining room table. And I just sat there looking at everything. And I realized that there was a chapter that needed to get moved over. And that was part of the final document or the final manuscript. And so it is very, very helpful. And I highly recommend doing it.
I know there's some people who do it with different colored sticky notes. It's the same thing. So yeah, if you feel like you're having a hard time getting your arms around the whole manuscript, that's a good way to kind of see it all at once.
Just to kind of add one more thing on it, you can also see if there's like a dead chapter. like a chapter that's not really like helping move the story forward. I've cut chapters because of that, or been thought, okay, I need to add some type of clue or red herring in here that helps serve the purpose of the story.
Yeah.
So it's just such a great tool. And thank you, Beth, because you gave that to me.
I'm glad you used it, because, you know, sometimes you think this is a really great idea, and then you realize that you're really the only person who's ever going to do it, because it only works in your little crazy world that you've spun somehow. So I do want to say that Lisa referenced our conversation with Laura. She's talking about Laura Taylor Namey, who will join us next week on episode 14. To talk about her young adult books, her new book coming out in September. She has some amazing, really useful writing advice that you will want to hear. So I encourage you to tune in next Monday for that one. The other thing I want to mention is we have added a subscription feature to our podcast. We love doing the podcast. We want to keep it free of advertising and clutter. So if you want to subscribe and support our effort, you'll see that link in our podcast notes. And it's also in our link tree, which you can find on our Twitter account. Do you have anything else? Any other owl tidbits you want to throw out here before we depart?
You know what? All I can say is expect owl gossip, owl updates from now on.
Can you put them on Twitter? Can you get a picture?
Okay. You know what I'll do today is at 5 o'clock on my tour. I've got your
5 o'clock
going.
Tour.
Well, Ollie's just excited. He's 15 and he came, you know, you think he's like too cool for school, but he's not. I came running
he's
into
not
the house.
Too cool for owls.
I came running in the house and I'm like, Ollie, get your shoes on. There's an owl. And it was like a fire drill, man. That kid had his shoes on and a sweatshirt and was hauling booty out to the owl tree with me. But anyway, so I'm going to try to take a picture. If nothing, I'll take a picture with me and my neighbors. I'm sure they'll love being on Twitter. But we'll take a picture and then I'll keep you guys posted of Owlgate.
Okay, so everybody look for the owl news and we will see you next Monday, same time, same place with our conversation with Laura Taylor Namey. So join us then. And until then, happy writing, reading, and listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Beth.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Writers with Wrinkles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.